This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Joel Embiid saying they're good. They're going to win this series. They're down 0-2. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight, T-Wolves and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. That is a relatively early game compared to when you're used to a game like that in the Western Conference airing 7 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. tip-off Eastern time, which means the world gets to watch Anthony Edwards and company tonight relatively early, at least those that are up with us early.
You should plan your evening around watching him. It's that good.
I think I am.
It's that good. No, I'm not just saying for you. I know you're going to watch anyway. Like, you're going to watch it anyway. You're on the Ant-Man train, too. I'm just saying for those people that are out there that might not have checked in on the Minnesota Timberwolves, I get it. I understand it. But you might want to watch this guy play.
Get on that bandwagon
now. Yeah, you might want to watch this guy play. It's fun watching him play. I mean, you don't even have to be a bandwagon fan, but just check him out.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth the watch. He's that damn good.
I'm looking for pictures of Benjamin Franklin's bifocals because, you know, that's obviously what everybody's doing today. Because Tim Legler said he thought he would look like Benjamin Franklin if he wore the bifocal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at these pictures. I mean, I don't know. Can we do a split screen on TV at some point with ESPNU with Benjamin Franklin and bifocals and legs with his glasses? I don't know. I think he'd look good.
Get that done.
I think legs would look good no matter what. But he doesn't want to wear the bifocals. Doesn't care if his eyes would be improved and his sight would be improved because he doesn't want to look like Benjamin Franklin.
I love the Benjamin Franklin outfits back in the day with the tall socks and the shoes with the baby heel and the buckle, the powdered wigs.
He's got to dress up as Ben Franklin this Halloween.
He's
got to
do it.
He's got to be Ben Franklin, doesn't he?
But he'll do some sort of zombie Ben Franklin or something.
No,
he loves Halloween.
Just be regular Ben Franklin. Just dress legs as Ben Franklin. America deserves to have this.
Somebody can do some Photoshop out there and send it to us at UnsportsESPN. Can we make legs as Benjamin Franklin?
Maybe put like a fake $100 bill in legs.
Yeah.
Face
let's,
on
let's get legs as Benjamin Franklin, please.
Instead of the Benjamins, it's the Timothys.
All about them Leglers, baby.
All about the Leglers.
All about the Leglers.
And his wife rips on him for the way he looks. Because he came in, I'm going to say it on the air because I said it to him off the air, but not in front of him. He came in this morning and I walked out there and his glasses were so low. He looked like he was 100 years old. And he's a good looking,
right,
like in shape guy, but he looked so old.
But have you ever noticed when he's coming in here and looking
he takes
at
him
his
off.
Phone? Not just that, when he has his phone,
yeah.
He like moves his phone like further away and then a little bit closer so he can kind of focus and see it. Like he's sitting there playing with his phone.
I never noticed it until you're saying
he
this.
He can't actually, like he's trying to move it back and forth and get it into focus. I never like
yeah.
Now it's all coming back to me.
He does it every single time he comes into the studio.
I never look at people's screens, but I wonder if his has the big text.
Oh, no doubt. He's got the big text. Like my parents and my mother-in-law,
yeah.
He's got the big font.
Hold it out. It's the big font. Like,
the big
you.
Font on the text, no doubt.
All right, I'm going to have to go in a break and look at his phone.
Oh, you have to.
I have to
we
see
have
how
to
big
do this
the font is on his yeah. phone. We'll have yeah. to figure this out. You can tweet at us at UnsportsESPN. If you're amazing on Photoshop, let's go. Make legs into Benjamin Franklin.
The Legler $100 bill, man.
I
I'm
love
telling
that
you.
Idea.
By the way, Smalls, you also
Legler
just,
bucks.
Legler bucks.
Smalls just slipped in. I love the Benjamin Franklin outfits.
Totally.
Like if I just came in rocking the Benjamin Franklin, you'd be like, oh, I like your wardrobe today.
Bloomer, some high socks, a little boot with a heel. You know, fashion is cyclical, but we have not seen the Benjamin Franklin return in a while.
Yeah.
Evan, you
like
could
the
ditch.
White socks with the penny loafers
yes.
and all that? Yeah.
The powdered wig with the little curls on the end, maybe a shirt with a ruffle. I'm just saying, Evan, maybe you ditch the hoodies and the jackets and you just get some Benjamin Franklin drip up in here.
I was thinking about this. What is the dress code for us at the draft? Do we have to dress any differently, any nicer?
No.
I was thinking about rocking the button down and the sport coat.
Oh, I think you should wear a full suit.
No.
That's what I was told, Evan. Men wear the suits.
I think you go hoodie with jacket. The people in Detroit would be disappointed if they saw you otherwise.
Smalls is saying I should go suit.
No.
What, are you going to wear a suit to the draft?
No.
CeCe,
I'm
think he should
radio.
Wear a suit.
I'm on the radio. Why would I wear a suit? Nobody can see me.
I don't know.
He should wear a suit.
I should wear a suit.
I'll wear a suit.
Let
That's
him wear
fine.
It.
I'll wear a suit. If you, I mean, I don't know.
Man, I don't want you showing up to the ESPN Bet Casino in Greektown looking like a used car salesman, man.
People,
I don't need you wearing that suit.
People may think you're an undercover cop.
Yeah.
Nuno, what are you? This is the fashion guy you want to go to. Nuno, what are you going to wear to the draft?
To the draft?
No, to our shows. To our shows.
To our shows?
At Greektown, ESPN Bet. What are you going to, Eddie, at Hollywood Casino Greektown in Detroit on Thursday and Friday, brought to everyone by True Green? What are you going to wear?
What does Duno's outfit look like?
Yeah, Detroit Duno.
All right, first of all, Canty, as a former car salesman, I'm offended by that. That shot.
Yeah, good job.
No, but I don't know, maybe a sweater, you know, a nice sweater, V-neck sweater, some slacks. Yes, I call them slacks because I'm old. Or a button-down shirt.
So you think my typical hoodie, jacket, joggers should not be worn?
I don't know.
Draft.
A Thursday, isn't there something? I know you're, you'll be on the air till 12 o'clock because you and Q Myers are hosting Greeny. But don't we actually have, or specifically you guys have?
Yeah, we have like a meet and greet.
So yeah, once
so you
can
wear the
and
hoodie
hoodies.
And jacket and joggers to the meet and greet.
No, you wear the hoodie, jacket, and joggers to the meet and greet. I would be uncomfortable if you showed up to the draft wearing something different.
You think he has a wire?
It would be off-putting.
Have a wire?
He has a wire on him?
Yeah, exactly. He's turning state's evidence.
Hey, speaking to this lapel. Yeah. So what were you
Why
doing?
Why is he standing so close
exactly,
today?
Exactly.
What if I compromise?
Can you repeat what you just said?
Clearly. Enunciate.
What if I do the hoodie and the sport coat combo package?
No.
Rob is shaking, is nodding
his
head.
That's the Richard Jefferson? No.
No, you can't do that.
Sorry,
no,
Rob.
No.
Rob's going to have to sit this one out, though.
Why is Rob going to – Rob, our social – we have Rob Cam. Why does Rob have to sit this one out, Nuno?
He's going
to
show up in his finest T-shirt.
Oh.
Wow. He said that you're going to show up in your finest T-shirt.
He's wearing a sweater today.
Exactly.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
No, I don't want you showing up in a suit, though. No suit.
I think there's a
combo. No suit jacket. No sport jacket. No, no, no.
Do you want to know what I'm wearing? Because I've packed already.
But we don't wear the same kinds of clothes. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, but you can get a sense of my outfit.
Go
and
ahead.
Then you could build off that.
Go ahead.
I'm going to wear pink pants, a heel, and then a tank jacket combo. So it's not...
Tank jacket combo.
Yeah, just like an undershirt with like a jacket on over it, because I'm probably going to be cold.
Professional enough, but ready for happy hour.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I want to wear a hoodie and sport coat. That's what I think I'm going to do.
Or just go full Ben Franklin.
Or Ben Franklin.
I think he's
going to buy full Ben Franklin.
Yeah, I was thinking jeans. No?
Okay. I'm just wondering.
I vote full Ben Franklin.
You can't wear the joggers with the sport coat, I don't know.
Should that be the punishment if we ever start at phone tag again that Nuno has to dress like Ben Franklin if he doesn't get the guests?
Nuno is
I don't
ben
think there's
Franklin.
A budget for that.
Oh, boy. All right. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can come see us and watch us, obviously, as part of the draft on Thursday and Friday. We will be in Detroit, ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino, Greektown, to find out what we're all wearing and if we're going to dress up like Ben Franklin. All right. Last night, we saw three games, two wild games, a 20-point lead blown by the L.A. Lakers, and a 5-point lead blown in the final 27 seconds of the game by the Philadelphia 76ers, where 8 points in a row were scored by the Knicks, an 8-0 run. Who's hurting more today, the Lakers or the Sixers?
Oh, the Sixers. I mean, New York had a 4% chance to win that game. 4% chance. And they were trailing by 5 with 30 seconds to go. The Knicks outscored them 8-0. You had it. Less than a minute. It was in your grasp. And you just let it go.
Why are you doing the Tommy DeVito over here? CeCe's doing the Tommy DeVito.
This is Tommy
I know, but it's his
we're
version of it. That's your grasp version?
It was like, in their hand.
At least if you're the Lakers, you slowly watched your lead atrophy.
Yeah.
But if you were...
That's painful, Smalls. You're making it seem like that's not painful.
It ain't painful because I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you expected that.
If you didn't... Listen, if you didn't learn from the 9 previous games where the Lakers lost to the Nuggets. This is what they do.
You have a sample size.
They build up a big lead. They try to get some confidence. And then the Denver Nuggets slowly walked them down. And the Denver Nuggets are notorious for starting out the postseason slow. It takes them a little bit to get going. Round one is kind of like a feeling out thing. The first half is kind of like a feeling out thing. But Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are two of the best playmakers in the league. And both of those dudes are going to make it happen. I mean, Jokic went for a 27-point, 20-rebound triple-double. And then Jamal Murray, after starting 3 of 16 through the first three quarters, drops 14 points in the fourth quarter on 6 of 8 shooting, including the game-winning step back over AD. It's the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic are a mutable force. It's like gravity. Like, you know it's going to happen. You can't defy it. That's how good these dudes are. So, as a Lakers fan, I'm not disappointed that they blew a 20-point lead because I expected it.
Mm. So you're saying when they got up 20, you said, all right, this is going to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have any ounce of hope?
No. Lead, no. Well, just a little bit. Okay. Just a little bit. I wanted to believe. Yeah. I wanted to believe it.
I hope so.
I want to say the score was 74-55 in the third. It was a 19-point lead. I was like, oh, we actually might have a chance. And that's the most maddening part about it. They make you think you got a chance. You got a little glimmer of hope. I mean, it might be possible. No.
Short-lived.
No. Short-lived. But here's the thing. If you're the Sixers, if you're a Sixers fan,
yeah,
you actually feel like you should be winning this series right now. You should be tied 1-1 at the worst and up 2-0 at best. And yet you're down 0-2 going back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That has to be maddening.
Yeah, you could have taken
that game. For Pat Costello and his people.
Yeah, they could have taken that game at the Garden.
Yeah.
And to think that you could have gone back to Philly with that in your back pocket, it's hard to think about emotionally turning the page from that when you have that loss. And I know the numbers are there for Joel Embiid, but the eye test tells me that he is certainly compromised. And I just can't see him getting any fresher as the series progresses. I can't see that knee getting any better after there's wear and tear with these games. So if I'm Philly, I feel like I really let one go last night.
Well, and on that point, Ben Franklin told us in the previous segment, you can go back on the ESPN app and listen to our podcast, also known as Tim Legler. I thought it was really interesting. The numbers look great for Embiid, 30-plus points, whatever it was. But he's relegated to playing guard because he's shooting from the outside. He's not getting near the basket. He's not posting up. He's not getting guys in foul trouble because he physically can't do it. So when you're, 7'3", 7'2", mm-hmm. It's close to 300 pounds, and you're relegating yourself to guard. I'm sure you were told this growing up, especially at your size. My dad would tell me growing up that if I was taller than the opponent and I had the ball above my head, the moment I brought it down, I wasn't taller than my opponent anymore. Yep. And I make myself into a smaller player. He has no choice but to make himself into a smaller player because of the injuries. That changes the entirety. Like, Maxey's fine on the outside. Embiid on a pick and pop every so often, sure. But you want him near the basket dominating, and he physically cannot be, and that changes the way that they play. All right, by the way, speaking of Philadelphia, Sal Pal is going to join us coming up, talk some draft with him. He is Mr. Philadelphia, so we'll check in with him on his friends and family around the Sixers, as well as get the latest around the NFL draft with Sal Palantonio. Next, it's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NFL Draft coming up Thursday and Friday. We will be there for our show both days. Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter, will be embedded with the Giants on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They are definitely one of the teams that many have discussed potentially moving up, moving down. He's also got the NFL matchup show, the draft special with Greg Cosell, Darius Butler, hosted by Sal Pal, now on Disney Plus, also airing on ESPN2 on draft day. And the last time that I was fortunate enough to speak to Sal Palantonio on the air, he mentioned that Sylvester Stallone was emailing him about the Eagles.
Nice.
As fellow Philly guys. So I must ask you, does Sly Stallone email you about the collapse of the Sixers last night, or no, Sal Pal?
No, but I was texting with Andy Reid this morning, if that counts.
About the Eagles? I mean, about the Sixers, excuse me?
No, I was congratulating him on the fact that he got a new deal and that we're still here together, because Andy Reid and I go way back to when he was hired. I remember picking him up at the airport and bringing him to the NovaCare facility for his opening press conference. Our careers have been intertwined for a long time, and I was congratulating him, and we were sending pictures of our grandchildren to each other, so it was kind of funny.
Oh, that is unbelievable. And, yeah, good job by him getting the contract extension.
No doubt.
Must have been a tough decision for the Chiefs as to whether or not to extend him.
That's where we are in the NFL draft. You know, it's pretty interesting to me that 2 days before the draft that Andy Reid and Brett Veach and the president of the team, Mark Donovan, would get extensions winning back-to-back Super Bowls. Because to me, the NFL draft has always been more about the NFL teams than the college prospects. I realize we focus a lot on the college prospects and where they're going. But to me, it's about the 32 teams. And the 31 other teams are trying to find a way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs right now. The Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowls. And Field Yates on the show yesterday with Mel Kiper Jr., the first draft show on ESPN2, I was watching it. He mentioned something that is very, very important that we talk about on our NFL draft special for the matchup show, and that is optionality and how important that has become in the NFL at the quarterback position. And Patrick Mahomes II has proven that the dual threat nature of the quarterback position that he has perfected with optionality is what the NFL needs right now in order to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you don't have that in the league right now, you're in the weeds. You're deep into the woods. And you look at the other thing that happened yesterday, and they're not coincidental. The Denver Broncos gave up on Russell Wilson and brought in Zach Wilson to show you the level of desperation at the quarterback position in the National Football League. The Broncos have lost 72 games in the last 7 years. Oof. That's more than any other team in the AFC West. That's more than any other team in the AFC other than the Jets, who have lost 79 in the last 7 years. So they have a desperation level at the quarterback position, so much so. And listen, you guys know Zach Wilson. I know Zach Wilson. Chris, you know Zach Wilson. This guy has been just lost at the Jets facility and with the New York Jets for years. He's had a couple of good games since he'd been drafted in 2021. And what does the trade of Zach Wilson to the Broncos mean for Thursday night? It means that getting to number three, getting to the Patriots pick, is proving much harder than people anticipated. The Broncos, maybe the Raiders, certainly the Vikings, definitely the Giants. The Patriots know what they have at number three. Talk about optionality. They have great options. They could stay there and pick a great quarterback, or they could hold people up for a king's ransom. And apparently the Broncos thought it was too rich and decided, hey, we've got to get Zach Wilson as an insurance policy.
So, Sal, we talk about how expensive it would be for a team to trade up with the Patriots at number three. What kind of trade package will we be looking at? I mean, the Minnesota Vikings do have 11 and 23. Would it have to include another first-round pick in 2025? Like exactly,
Yeah,
what are we talking about when it comes to a trade package that would compel Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo to slide back out of number three?
Yeah, and if I'm Jerod Mayo, I look at Elliott Wolf and I say, listen, cuz, this is my opportunity to slide into the big chair that Bill Belichick occupied for two decades. Whatever you're going to do, you better set me up for the future at the quarterback position. Whatever you're going to do, if you don't do that, you better set me up. Because don't leave me hanging high and dry where the cupboard is bare and I don't have a quarterback. So if I'm Jerod Mayo, I'm on the phone or I'm in Elliott Wolf's office, knock, knock, knock. What do you got today? And then I'm going to Jonathan Kraft and Mr. Kraft and saying, this is a good idea or this is a bad idea, because Jerod Mayo is the future of the franchise after Bill Belichick. And they have to find a quarterback. They absolutely do. I mean, they're in the weeds just like the Broncos in that division. They absolutely have to find a quarterback, or they have to fill the cupboard that's bare right now in New England.
Sal, as Evan mentioned, you're going to be embedded with the Giants during the draft. What information can you share with us about which direction you think they'll go in the first round?
And, you know, I think this is the most intriguing spot in the draft at number 6. The pivot point is 3, but for 6, for the Giants, because of the Daniel Jones situation where they can, you know, basically have him in the building for a year, and next year they can jettison him and they don't have to spend any money, really, guaranteed money on it. There'll be some cap and charges, but that's about it. So it's really not about who the quarterback is in 2024, right? It's probably going to be some combination of Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and a player to be named later, a rookie quarterback, whoever that is. It's more about who the quarterback's going to be in 2025. So if I'm the GM, Joe Shane, and I'm Brian Daboll, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, we got to find somebody who's going to be our quarterback in 2025. We can't really sell the fan base, right, Chris? I mean, you know that fan base as better than anybody. You can't really sell that fan base on the hope of 2025 if you don't have a quarterback in the building who's going to be the starter.
Yes, exactly.
And talk about teams that have lost a lot of games. The Giants have lost 77 games, second only to the Jets in the last 7 years. You know, they're a couple of years away. And in my view, they got to get a quarterback in that draft.
Sal Powell, let's finish with this. Obviously, you've been so closely tied to the Eagles for so long and reporting around them. There was a lot of weird social media buzz around A.J. Brown the last couple of weeks and changing the pictures to Tom Brady, etc. What's up with the Eagles? They had such a weird end of the season. They keep Sirianni. They extend Devontae Smith. What's going on with the Eagles right now?
Well, I think if you focus on the draft, going into the draft, A.J. Brown's not going anywhere, first and foremost. You know, you're probably recording this right now, and maybe at some point it'll bite me in the nose on somewhere down the road. But if they're trading A.J. Brown, you can turn out the lights in South Philly. He's very, very important to this football team, this season. It's Super Bowl or bust for the Philadelphia Eagles. They are all in. They brought in more than any other team. They had more players than any other team that made the playoffs last year. 23 different players they brought in. They spent $164.8 million in guaranteed money. $164.8. That's more than any other team that made the playoffs in the NFC last year. So to me, they're all in. All their actions, all of Howie Roseman's doings this offseason has been about Super Bowl or bust. And if I'm them, and Adam Schefter's got it nailed, I think they are talking to teams to try to move up, to get themselves a blue-chip player in the secondary to help out a secondary that's older, that needs help. Whatever you got to do, bring in somebody who's big and fast and ferocious and who can cover at the cornerback position or the safety position, whoever it is, help out Vic Fangio, help out a defense that gave up 32 touchdown passes last year, second most in the National Football League, 23 touchdown passes they gave up last year, most in the NFL outside the numbers. What does that tell you? They need a corner. They absolutely need a corner if they're Super Bowl or bust. And the NFC's totally for the taking. This is the year for the Eagles to bounce back.
Sal Palantonio will be with the Giants, a huge, huge piece to the draft puzzle on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. NFL matchup draft show with Greg Cosell, Darius Butler, hosted by Sal Pal on Disney+, also airing ESPN2 on draft day. Sal, thank you as always for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there is Sal Palantonio. Eagles Super Bowl or bust there. All the additions that they made, and that he said the Giants, the pivot point is 3 with New England, but the Giants are as interesting as any other team. Shefty has reported that the Giants and the Vikings are the most likely teams, based on what he's hearing so far, to move up in the draft, and that they need a quarterback. A lot to digest there. We will do that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I don't know that there's a fan base that has been less excited, less enthusiastic about taking a player with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft than the Bears this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get, like you're going to get Caleb Williams.
Yeah. I can give you one.
And
any number one overall pick, the guy we've been talking about for 2 years.
Exactly. And they're like, we should have stayed with Justin Fields.
Yes.
We should have stayed. Like, I was talking to my homeboy yesterday who's a diehard Bears fan. For his 50th birthday, he got an autographed Mike Singletary jersey and didn't know how to act. Like, this guy loves the Chicago Bears. And just like, yeah, I think we should have stayed with Justin Fields. I'm like, the rest of the league told you what they thought about Justin Fields. He was traded to the Steelers for a conditional 6-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling you what they think of him. He's like, nah, man, we should have stayed with Justin Fields. I mean, Smalls, is it that they think that the Bears are going to ruin whoever they draft and that guy is not going to be better than Justin Fields, so we should just stay with Fields?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. It's almost like they have Stockholm syndrome.
I got the same thing over the weekend. I was home in St. Louis, but I'm from the Illinois side of the river, so a lot of my friends from Illinois, Bears fans. I was at the Battlehawks game. Caw-caw. Huge win over Memphis. Shout out to the Battlehawks. But the person that I was sitting with, Bears fan, said the same thing to me. Said, oh, I can't believe they didn't hang on to Justin Fields. If it was up to me, I would have just drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., continue to build around Fields. He's got what it takes to be great. And maybe it's not Stockholm syndrome. Maybe it's more the fear that Justin Fields is going to be great elsewhere. Maybe it's those little snippets that we saw of his potential.
Yeah.
And you know that the upside is there. And even though Caleb Williams, for years, we have talked about being a transformational franchise quarterback, there's just that part of you that doesn't want to see Justin Fields potentially be great elsewhere.
So this is, I don't want to see my ex do better with the next type of situation?
Maybe.
Okay.
Two things on this. Number one, they can still draft Marvin Harrison Jr., in my opinion. Not number one. Do you think the Arizona Cardinals would trade 4 for 9 in next year's first rounder for the Bears?
Oh, and fade the Bears? Hell yeah.
So there you go. You can get Marvin Harrison Jr. if you're the Bears. Let's just, I'm going to pause there for a second. Think about it. For that friend of yours that's like, oh, I wish we took them, or Marvin Harrison Jr., if you called Arizona, Monty Osorio, their general manager, and said, we're going to give you 9, and we're going to give you next year's first for number 4. Arizona has to make that trade when they don't, in their minds, they don't need a quarterback this year. They could next year. They would get 2 first-rounders, and if you're the Bears, you're now entering this season with both Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison. That actually makes so much sense. It's ridiculous for both teams, in my opinion.
And if you're Arizona, you could still walk away with a great wide receiver because it's a wide receiver heavy draft.
That's number one. Number two, in terms of the least excited for a number one overall pick.
Yes.
You're going to give me Caleb Williams for the Bears fans, not because you guys agree with that, but the sense you're getting. And I will give you 2013 Kansas City Chiefs drafting Eric Fisher, offensive tackle from Central Michigan.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
And by the way, I'll also
give
you.
Did win a Super Bowl though, right?
And this is not about the result. Yeah. It's about the moment of drafting. The next one. How about 2022? The Jaguars.
Trayvon Walker.
You think they were pumped about that?
They had 10 sacks this year.
I'm not talking about the results. I'm talking about the moment that they drafted them. They're like, whatever. They had the number one pick the year before. They already got Trevor Lawrence. You're in the exact same situation they were a year ago. There's no excitement. I mean, usually when you have a number one overall pick.
The playoffs is rookie year.
But I'm just saying, when you have the number one overall pick,
yeah,
there's a level of excitement that you have because it's usually either a quarterback or someone that can attack the quarterback.
Right, but this is a quarterback that
you're
getting.
That's the point.
And you desperately need one. You have been in quarterback purgatory for almost as long as I've been alive.
I'm not suggesting that your friends are right. What I'm suggesting is that is one of the reasons that, like, they just assume it's going to be the way it was in the past. But also, I think that when you look back at some of those, I mean, Eric Fisher, number one, he's the most unknown number one pick overall in our lifetime in the NFL.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Okay.
Is there anybody else? So, and by the way, Chiefs ended up okay. I think they're all right, right? I think the Chiefs are okay. I think the Bears are going to be okay. Would you guys make that trade, by the way, going back to that? Both teams.
Yes.
4 for 9 in next year's one.
100%. No. I would do both.
I think both would. What? Why would you say no?
No, I don't. If you're the Bears, you don't need to. And you already don't have a lot of draft picks. I think they have, what, 4 or 5 draft picks this year? Like, they need picks. Like, I don't need...
I'm not giving up a pick this year. I'm giving up a pick next year.
Yeah, but I don't... why would you do that? I don't think you need to do that. And the fact that they traded for Keenan Allen, I think, takes pressure off the immediacy of having to address wide receiver in the first round. It's a deep wide receiver class.
Yep.
So you can get a pretty good wide receiver if you stay at 9 or even if you trade back. Like, you could target a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. if you wanted to. Like, there are other guys that are going to go in the back at Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell from Texas. By way of Georgia, like, he'll be around. Like, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, who I love. Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.21. Like, these are guys, Ladd McConkey from Georgia. These are guys that are going to go in the back half of the first round. You can get one of those dudes. You don't have to give up 2025 draft capital in order to move up to give MHJ.
I understand not wanting to give that capital up, but everything that the Bears have done so far this offseason points to them building around Caleb Williams and making sure that he's in a better spot when they draft him, that's a softer landing and that he's put in a position to succeed. Going out there and acquiring the best weapon in this draft to give to him, if you make moves that put him in the best possible position to succeed, I think you're good. And to me, that would be huge for them to go out and not only get Caleb Williams, but pair him up with Marvin Harrison Jr.
So kill an ant with a sledgehammer. You're basically like, we just going to roll all of these resources in. We trade him for Keenan Allen. We're going to move up, give him MHJ. We got Gerald Everett to go along with Cole Kmet, tight end. Like, we are loading up.
Strengthening your strengths.
And why not try to, right out the gate, maximize that rookie contract? Do everything you can to put all of those weapons around him.
And this is all under the premise that you're saying that they have a good defense and that they have good line play, correct?
Yeah.
And after this season, by the way, Keenan Allen is a free agent. So to me, it works perfectly. Keenan Allen, you have a 1 year, you know, life cycle here with the.
It's a rental.
But it's a mentorship. And it's hey, if you liked mentoring these guys, come back.
Yeah, it's at least with an option to buy.
Yeah, life cycle means he's dead. That's not what I was referring to. So at least with an option to buy. I said life cycle. I have no idea why I said that. I killed off Keenan Allen. I apologize, Keenan. I was so impressed with you showing up to Caleb Williams' pro day at USC, and now I've killed you off, so I apologize to you and your family. That was not my goal. But he's on a one-year deal, Marvin Harrison Jr., plus... If this doesn't work out this year, this regime ain't there next year anyway.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, though. There's no shot. I do think they might try to make a run in an elite wide receiver prospect, but I don't think they're going to be able to get their hands on one of the top three. So they're going to stay at 9 or they'll potentially trade back.
So you think Romo Odunze will be gone?
He'll be gone.
Well, if Odunze will be gone, Neighbors will be gone, and Marvin Harrison Jr. will be gone, it's not an elite wide receiver prospect. It's the next tier, is it not?
Yeah, that's what I said. They'll miss out on the elite wide receiver prospects. You'll
so then,
the next group.
Is there a justification to stay at 9 then in that spot, or do you trade down?
I think I think they're going to try to trade down. I don't know that they will, but I think they're going to try to trade down. The question is, who would be moving up and for what? And so that's the part that I couldn't figure out. That's why I had them staying put and taking Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, out of Alabama.
I think
which would be a great pick.
Strengthening your strengths.
It would be a great pick. Mm-hmm. Great pick. I say this all the time. Like, everybody wants to say the pass catcher is a quarterback's best friend, young quarterback's best. Listen, a defense that can create field position and extra possessions, that is a young quarterback's best friend. If I'm starting the possessions at midfield or better, you know, if I'm getting the ball 12 or 13 times as opposed to 10 or 11 times, that is the win. The Bears have the potential to do that, by the way. Second half, that defense when they got Montez Sweat, one of the best defenses in the league when it came to takeaways. Just putting that out there.
All right, coming up, we have best bet and maybe the most unsportsmanlike moment ever, which we will get to. But when you're on a business trip, you know, it can go off the rails, right? I mean, we've all been there. You have your gym that you normally go to. You have your regular workout routine. So you book a hotel, and that hotel doesn't have a gym. Then what happens? You do a few push-ups in the room, sit-ups in your room, you run around the block, or you skip it entirely. It's lame. But if you just stay at a La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every single location. So you can bank on it being open, available for you to continue your workout routine as normal as if you were at home. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
Ev, you know where I'm going with our play of the night, right?
I'm sure it's Ant-Man.
Oh, of course it is. But before we do that, we have to look back on the night that was. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. The parlay came through last night. We needed Nikola Jokic to go over 41.5 total points.
Crazy
and
low number.
And he destroyed it. You said it yesterday. It was a crazy low number. He ended up having 47 total points and rebounds. And, of course, we needed the Denver Nuggets to win on the money line. They took care of their business. They won by two. So that paid out. Nice plus 139. So tonight, we're going back to the well, back to the association. One of my favorite young players to watch.
One of your favorite young players?
Okay, let's just call it my favorite young player to watch.
I mean, come on.
Future face of the league.
Your favorite player
of all time. Not Scotty Barnes, Anthony Edwards.
The Raptors did say that. Face of the league, Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes is great, but...
Not future face of the league.
No.
But Anthony Edwards is future face of the league. So we're going to go Anthony Edwards over 24.5 points, and we're going to take the Minnesota Timberwolves to win. That two-leg parlay pays out at plus 160.
I know this is a very typical sports radio conversation to have, but I'll do it anyway. Is tonight a must-win for the Suns?
Ooh.
Can they go down 2-0 against Ant-Man and win this series? They have Kevin Durant, who's one of the best players of all time. Booker is awesome. But if Ant-Man loses a 2-0 lead, a little bit of the shine comes off of him. I'm sorry. Okay. And I'm all in on him. You can't lose a 2-0 lead in the first round.
Yes, it's a must-win, and here's the reason why. I don't see the Suns being able to come back and win 4 of the next 5 against the number one defense in the NBA. The Minnesota Timberwolves were the number one defense in the NBA in the regular season. I just don't see the Suns coming back from that.
And Kevin Durant, just a message to him. I want to talk to him for a second. Just he and I talking right now. After this season, if you guys lose in the first round, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to look around. Remember where you visited in 2016. You're not going to go to the Celtics. You're not going to go back to the Warriors. Come back to the Heat. Let's go. All right, anyway, on Sportsmanlike Moments.
Wow.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible. Was not a great look.
Wait, before I get to one of the greatest all-time unsportsmanlike moments, go for it.
I can see that. Kevin Durant with the Miami Heat.
And the culture's already there.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy buckets.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to be the leader. Like, Jimmy Butler is already the leader. Bam is already. Like, you don't have to be the leader. You can just go down there and hoop.
He can fold right in.
Yeah, you can go down there and hoop.
Hi, May. Jovic, love you guys.
Yeah, get rid of
Phoenix. is a nice place to live.
Get rid of Tyler Hero. Like, how do you get that contract off the books? Like, find a way to move off. Yeah, Kevin Durant with the Miami Heat. That big three, him, Jimmy buckets, and Bam.
This is insanity. You guys know that, right? You hear yourselves what you're doing here?
I baited them well, Pat.
This is crazy.
You have to give me credit on baiting them where they both actually took the bait.
It would be fun.
How many times do we have to say, oh my God, if Kevin Durant just ends up with these guys on this team, it's going to be great.
He's never played with good players, Pat. He's never been.
It's going to be so amazing. And then it keeps not working.
Listen, outside of Golden State, I could say that he hasn't really played with great leaders.
He was supposed to be the great leader.
That changes the match.
Russell
a little bit.
Westbrook, I thought, was in Oklahoma City the first time with the two of them.
Called him a cupcake.
On the way out.
If he called him a cupcake publicly on the way out, how do you think he felt when he was there?
God, I would love a cupcake right now, but I shouldn't eat it.
Who wouldn't?
All I'm saying is he would not have played with leadership like the Miami Heat offer. With the exception of Golden State, which is why I think it could be a different outcome in the playoffs, just saying.
All right, anyway. All right, so this is one of the greatest unsportsmanlike moments we've ever seen. Yankees A's yesterday, Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, courtesy of the YES Network, he gets thrown out of the game by umpire Hunter Wendelstedt, and Aaron Boone did nothing to get thrown out of the game but offended.
I was doing that game. Yeah. I thought he had great stuff that outing. The Blue Jays were just better at fouling off a lot of tough pitches, made him work.
The 0-2. And that hit Ruiz. He did not swing, so a hit by pitch, and Astori Ruiz. John Tumpain is the first base umpire.
You saw making
that
call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter.
And we're done. I don't care who said it. You're gone.
Aaron saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
No, I don't care. I did not say a word. It was a bummer. I did not say anything, Hunter. I did not say
stat with some aggressive rabbit ears. One batter into
This is amazing. So basically, there was
crazy.
A batter hit by a pitch. Then there's another batter. Hunter Wendelstedt, the umpire, is yelling at Aaron Boone. And basically, they're barking back and forth. Wendelstedt says, if you say another thing, you're out of here. On the video, if you're watching with us on ESPNU, Boone is not even looking at home plate, not mm-hmm. looking at the play. It almost looked like he wasn't even paying attention to the game with Brad Ausmus, his bench coach, sitting next to him. A fan in the blue behind him is screaming at Hunter Wendelstedt. And then all of a sudden, Boone gets tossed. Smalls, you are Miss Baseball. This was simultaneously amazing to watch out of humor and so embarrassing for your sport.
Absolutely, on both accounts. Hilarious to watch, but if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm furious. You cannot say, if you're the umpire, I don't care who said it, you're gone. Because guess what? If umps were kicking guys out because of things that fans said, we wouldn't have any managers in Major League Baseball there to actually be there throughout the entirety of the game. You cannot do that. In that moment, we had yet another umpire who made it about himself and about his ego. And this is what I can't stand sometimes about baseball.
Yeah, but I guess my point is, why are you doubling down on a mistake that you made? You thought Aaron Boone said it. He didn't. Why are you then continuing to double down on it and saying, I don't care who said it. You're out of here. Like, there's got to be some accountability for this, what's his name, Hunter?
Wendelstedt.
There's got to be some accountability for Hunter Wendelstedt.
But what? We'll never know. That's the thing.
They need to make it public, man.
They should.
They embarrassed Aaron Boone publicly.
And you put...
Like, listen, man, I'm one of those, man, the apology got to be as loud as the mistake.
No chance.
And I know, but that's not what the Major League Baseball umpires do. Their union, I guess, is one of the strongest out there when it comes to referees and professional sports. I just think that it's just ridiculous that we see the umps routinely making themselves the show when didn't nobody pay good money and buy a ticket to come see them. That's what I don't get.
Yes, and when your mistake puts a team at a deficit by ejecting the manager, then you need to come out and issue an apology. You need to say, I'm wrong, because he did nothing that warranted his ejection yesterday, and yet he had to leave the game.
Aaron Boone legitimately was not even paying attention during that moment.
His lips wasn't moving. Unless Aaron Boone is a ventriloquist and he can say things without his lips moving, then there's no chance that that was him yelling at Hunter Windelstad. There's no shot.
Pat Costello, I know you guys are not huge Seinfeld people, but Pat Costello has pointed out the brilliant take of this feels like a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza, who worked for the Yankees on the show, would get thrown out, would get the manager thrown out of the game for screaming at the umpire.
The problem is that you know the name of the ump. You should never know the name of the ump or the
correct
ref. You should never know their name.
Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Wednesday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.